Welcome to the Empowerista interview series on Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Lori Caden, co-founder of Belly Bandit. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we got to start out with a really juicy story and part of the inspiration behind Belly Bandit. So you were asked when you were due, when you were postpartum, which is a huge no-no, but it did spark an idea for you. So tell me about this story and what happened after that.
Well, it all started in aisle 7 of Target. I was standing on a ledge to get cat food, big bag cat food, and this man, like, in my peripheral vision, like, dodged straight to me. He's like, "Let me help you, ma'am. You are so pregnant." And I was standing on the ledge. I dropped it, and I ran out of the store in tears. And that's kind of where it all began.
Oh, my goodness. So, side note, never assume somebody's pregnant or you may make somebody cry. But in your case, it actually turned out into a beautiful business. So, I guess we should be thanking that guy, right?
Absolutely.
So, it's one thing to be in that moment and realize, whoa, I need to do something about this. It's another thing to make it happen. So what were the next steps? Once this light bulb went off, then what did you decide to do?
Well, I think a lot of it was my sisters were sick and tired of hearing me complain, because after I delivered, I was the first of all my friends to have a baby, and between my sisters and I. And I thought, just after you deliver, your stomach automatically just goes flat again. And I was sadly mistaken. So, you know, after that incident, and I just felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. And, you know, as a new mom, you're so sleep-deprived, and you kind of don't know what to expect. And, you know, I think postpartum depression is such an easy thing to fall into, and I know a lot of moms have it. I think that I was at a point where, you know, I was working out, I was eating right, and still that weight would not come off. I had gained 60 pounds after I delivered, and I was bigger after I delivered than I was as I was going into the hospital. So from there, I would wear like a black t-shirt and sweatpants, and I went back to work pretty soon after I delivered. So I was going to and from work in my uniform, as I called it, because I felt like I didn't want anybody to see me, and I had all these, like, the muffin tops and all the back fat, and I just felt like I wasn't myself. So, again, we just began doing some research how women in other cultures would bind their belly and their abdomen for an extended period of time. And fast forward, my sisters and I literally were sourcing materials and sitting at our kitchen table cutting these and sewing these materials until we got this band to fit around the belly.
I love that, because fast forward to today, you guys are wildly successful in stores like Neiman Marcus, but it all began there, just cutting your own fabric. Uh-huh. And that's the story that so often people don't realize, especially aspiring entrepreneurs, is that you start with very, very humble beginnings.
and that's exactly where we started. We sat on my kitchen floor doing that. And it was, we look back and we're like, wow, you know, it seems like forever ago, as we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, but it still seems like we can remember that exact moment. And I think that we reminisce all the time, and that is how entrepreneurs start.
So cool. So you basically had your prototype, your minimum viable product. And then what'd you do from there? Did you test it yourself? Did you have girlfriends test it?
Well, this is the funny part. We sat outside of Paquito Mas for 3 days straight, and we would stop people, and we're like, hey, can we? So we needed so many different measurements, and like, we thought we had it figured out, but then we didn't with the stretch of the fabric. So we sat there, and people were like, am I on candid camera? So we measured every single body type for 3 days straight, calculating the measurements.
Outside of where?
Paquito Mas.
Is that a restaurant?
It's a chain. It's like a fast food chain restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that is hilarious that you just chose a random fast food place. Did you just think there'd be like a nice variety of body types coming out
of
that?
Well, we were literally driving down Ventura Boulevard, and we're like, you know, we need a bunch of measurements. Like, we went through my entire family, my mom, my dad, everybody, and friends. So we're like, we need a lot of different body types. And literally, like, out the corner of our eye, we're like, oh my God, that there's a lot of traffic. Pull over, and we stopped, and we sat there, and we just had the best time.
Okay, a lot of people wouldn't have the courage. I suppose when you have your sisters with you, that gives you a little bit of courage right there. But you just went for it, and you just talked to people, and they didn't have a problem with it?
Well, you know, there were a couple of people who walked away, who declined. But for the, like, several hundred that did, they were very excited that, we, you know, they wanted to know what it was for. So it was just, we love meeting people and talking to people, and we are definitely not shy. So that was the beginning of really how to size a belly bandit.
That's awesome. Okay, so what after that? Once you knew you had a good product, then obviously you couldn't just make them all in your kitchen and sell them at fast food places. So how did you grow it?
So, you know, once we actually had the product, and I mean, it took a couple of years to develop. Once we actually had the product and the product was trademarked and we knew what we were doing at that point, and we were where we were getting materials, and we found a cut and sew house, we just started playing around with it. And then, you know, even past that point, and when we got the packaging and stuff, I would go back into all of the stores that I purchased baby gear from, strollers, high chairs, you name it. So I went into one of the stores that I like bought a ton of baby gear from, and I showed them the product, and it was a hard no at first, and they're like, "No, I don't think I don't think we need that." So they turned me away, but I wasn't walking away. I said, "Listen, I'm going to leave a box of a dozen here, and if they do not sell in the next 2 weeks, I will not come back and bug you again." And 3 days later, they called me. They're like, "We need some more of those belly things. They all sold."
Wow, very cool. And what I love about that is so often someone, an aspiring entrepreneur, would get discouraged by a no, and they would just take no for face value. But sometimes it's just that the person you're trying to sell your product on doesn't understand that there is a demand. So that's a great strategy to just leave the product with them, see what happens.
Yeah. And so like every no that we got, you know, moving forward, it was like, let's just leave them here. And in 2 weeks, if they don't sell, we will come back and pick them up. And that was kind of our thing. And it was just, it escalated from there.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to your original story of cutting the fabric on your kitchen floor, similarly, people don't realize that it's literally knocking on doors, showing up at different locations. For how long did you do that for, where you were just kind of showing up at the retail locations?
You know, I did it for the first few months. And then when we knew that people actually really loved the product, we would get reorders pretty quickly. So, and then it was a different story when we built up a need for the product and, you know, the demand was there. It's just the product just started selling itself.
And then I would imagine there were some growing pains when you started to scale, because now you guys are really, really big. So what advice do you have for somebody that goes from small business to large business?
Well, scaling properly and having the right people in place is super, super important. I think the first off is that you have to have a good product. If you do not have a good product, the consumer will figure that out. And especially in today's day and age with all the social media and the and all the feedback, I think that having a great product, being able to supply that great product, because often you hear people who have a great product and they cannot fulfill the demand.
They grow too quickly.
So, you know, there is a happy medium there.
So let's end with this. A lot of people are thinking about going into business with their family, or they are in business with their family. Any advice for working with family as you do? You work with your sisters?
Being in business with my sisters is the best thing ever, just because we've been best friends growing up and we're best friends now. And I think that we each bring something different to the table. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're family, and there's nobody that I would trust more than my sisters.
That's awesome. So you recommend it?
I do recommend it. I mean, you hear horror stories of people are like, oh my God, you know, that the siblings don't speak, or they're in a lawsuit or something. We're a little bit different.
You're lucky because you're all trustworthy people. That's probably the key. Love it. Well, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Laughter relaxes your audience. This is Oren Claff with Pitch Anything, showing you how to close like the pros. Laughter relaxes your audience. People laugh at three basic themes in life. First, at others making bad decisions and mistakes. especially when it's a person of authority. The second reason people laugh is to release emotion or high tension. But the easiest thing to laugh at, and about the only kind of joke that works in business and professional situations, is the element of surprise. One way professionals create surprise and lighten up a meeting is they put an extraordinary person in a normal situation. The point is, this tax stuff is time consuming and boring to most people. But I'm one person, a regular accounting sales guy that loves seeing accounting done right. Let's complete the order and get you guys on to something a little more exciting. Laughter relaxes your audience. This is Everything Entrepreneur. I'm Oren Claff with Pitch Anything.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. We're continuing our conversation with Devin. She is the founder of Dining with Devin. So everyone has a different philosophy when it comes to growing their social media. What has been your philosophy?
My philosophy, I guess I've never thought of it as a philosophy, but I think just being as active as you can be is the most important thing that you can do.
And do you mean like post often?
Yeah, I mean everything. So posting, I think for me, the sweet spot is once a day. I know some people post 3 times a day, other people post every other day. Once a day seems to work the best for me. But also beyond that, responding to your comments, responding to your DMs, and commenting on everyone else's posts when you can. You want to be there. You want to be online, see what other people are doing, kind of get your name out wherever you can. And it also helps to build really valuable relationships when you're consistently commenting on other people's photos.
Are you commenting mostly on the people who follow you or people you follow, people who are using certain hashtags?
I would say it's 75% the people that I follow, but I oftentimes will go into my followers' profiles and leave a couple comments. Maybe it's even less than 75-25%. I try to go and recognize and acknowledge the people who comment on my posts often and who DM me often. So kind of all over the place. I think I spend most of my time engaging with the people that I follow, but definitely go outside of that as well.
Do you have any unique tips or tricks or secrets when it comes to growing your community on social media?
I guess maybe it's not so much a secret, but the story function on Instagram has been amazing for me. Whenever I post stories between maybe 5 and 8 a day, my engagement on my photos goes up so much more. I get so many more followers. The stories have been a really, really cool thing to start incorporating into my whole Dining with Devin identity.
That's really interesting. I wonder if it's because of the algorithm. I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's for sure true or not, but that Instagram will favor your account if you are more active on Instagram story. But then aside from that, I'm sure it just builds relationship with your followers because they get to see you behind the scenes and all that. And then when you do pop up in their feed, of course, they're going to be more inclined then to interact with you.
Exactly. Yeah. I do think it is something to do with the algorithm as well. I've heard of that. But I feel like I get when I post a story, I get so many people that are responding to it in my DMs. And I think they like to see the person who's posting the photos. They like to see or hear the person who's talking. So I just think it really helps to kind of make you seem like a real person and less of just another Instagrammer posting food online.
That's a really good point. That personability goes a really long way. And that's something I'm working on in social media too, is showing more of myself within my brand, because people ultimately connect with people. So where do you draw the line when it comes to showing your life versus your business?
I think that I'm pretty open with my followers. I mean, I'm not going to post an Instagram story and crying, talking about a breakup or whatever, but I keep things honest. I decided to go travel actually in 2015 to 2016. I spent a whole year abroad. And the reason that I went was because the year that I had before that was really rough. And my followers know that. I didn't go out and act like I was on some luxury year-long vacation. I was just telling them that I needed a break from real life. And I think, you know, I divulge enough that people understand what I'm going through and they know what I'm up to day to day, but I'm not airing my dirty laundry on Instagram. Yeah.
Will you sometimes post things that are completely unrelated to the vegan lifestyle, or does it have to somehow tie back to the vegan lifestyle? How do you balance that?
I definitely show things outside of the vegan lifestyle. It makes up a smaller portion of my content on Instagram, but I think it's important. If I'm out at a concert and I want to share on my stories some of the band or who I'm with, I do that. And
I think especially Instagram story is a good place for that.
Yeah, definitely. And we've talked before behind the scenes about how I do hosting, and sometimes I'm on a red carpet. Occasionally I'll share a photo of me on a red carpet, and that's entirely not vegan related, but it's a part of my life. And I consider Dining with Devin, despite the name, to be more of a lifestyle platform than just a food platform.
Have you taken advantage of Instagram Live yet at all?
I have a little bit. I need to do it more. I've heard really good things about that, boosting your followers as well. But I just haven't gotten super into
it
yet.
I'm just starting to dabble into it as well. But yeah, there's all these tricks for increasing the algorithm. And I've heard that that is one as well.
I definitely want to start going live more, maybe choosing a set time a week to show what I'm cooking in my kitchen or whatever. But right now, I've just kind of used it a few times here and there.
Yeah. Are you on other social media as actively as you are on Instagram, or do you just attach your Instagram to your other social media platforms? How does that work?
Definitely most active on Instagram. I feel that it's been just the most offered me the most opportunity, and I've built the largest audience on Instagram. I have a YouTube. I should post on it more often, but so much of my time is spent going towards my Instagram and my blog that I don't feel that I have enough resources right now to just do all of them.
And that's a good point. It's important to have something you own. So you mentioned your blog. That's really, really helpful. Or maybe it's a video series. Maybe it's a newsletter. But I think, you know, having it ultimately tie back to you and your brand and something that you own is so crucial when you're making it a business. And speaking of making it a business, we promised to tell our audience other revenue streams that have worked for you. Can you share those with our audience?
Yeah. So working with brands has been a really great revenue stream for me. In exchange for payment, I'll, you know, post about the product either on my story as a dedicated post on Instagram or in a YouTube video. So that's been a really fun way for me to turn what I'm already doing with Dining with Devin into something that's earning me money.
So lastly, you're just such a good example of someone who's in their 20s and went for their passion, quit their job, and is making it happen. So what are some words that you can leave our audience with? Just some words of advice to really motivate them to start on their passion and take action.
I think the biggest piece of advice that I can give anybody watching this is to just find what you're passionate about and be willing to take the risk to follow it. It would have been very easy for me to get a job after I graduated, gone through life working the 9-to-5, but I knew that that wasn't fulfilling for me. It never has been fulfilling, and I never envisioned myself doing something like that. So being able to find my passion and see the path that it could take me on, and, you know, social media influencer is such a new world. You know, a lot of companies don't even really think about using social media to help grow their brand. So I think just kind of recognizing that new path and going at it full speed and not really worrying about the risk that you're taking.
Yay, I love it. Good for you. I'm so happy for you. You've built such beautiful, purposeful brand. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
This report is brought to you by Esurance. Natural disaster season is upon us. June brings the start of hurricane season, and severe storms this spring have already been unusually intense, with over 500 reports of tornadoes. Even if you don't think you're in an area prone to a threat, it's important to be prepared for extreme weather that could strike at any time. Meteorologist Bonnie Schneider shares tips to help you prepare for Mother Nature's worst.
Get together your basic disaster supplies, including a 3-day supply of non-perishable food and water, photocopies of your credit cards and ID, first aid kit, flashlight, a radio, and batteries. It's important to make sure your insurance is up to date and that you are properly protected. Esurance helps simplify insurance with Coverage Counselor, an online tool that helps you better understand and select coverages that may be right for you. It's just another way Esurance is making insurance surprisingly painless.
Esurance is not available in all states. For more information, visit www.esurance.com.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Alan Shane Fecker is joining us right now. He's the CEO of Share States. What's up, brother? Pleasure to have you on the show.
Not much. Thank you for having me.
So what's your company do? Yeah, I know you guys are in real estate.
Yeah, so we're a real estate marketplace, lending and investing platform, basically like a real estate stock market. So we find different real estate investors, speculators, and developers, underwrite their projects, bring them to our platform where individual investors, family offices and institutions have an opportunity to invest in those deals.
How long have you been in real estate?
So I'm actually a young guy. I'm 28. Real estate is probably been about 2 years now since we fully launched the company. My background's originally on the legal end.
Okay. How'd you go from legal to real estate?
So it's funny. We were sitting over a family dinner. I was finishing up my last year of law school, and my brother-in-law and his brother were talking with me about, you know, certain businesses and kind of some different business ideas we had. And I was trying to figure out whether I was going to go into business for myself, go work for a law firm, start my own law firm, whatever it was going to be. And this concept was something that my partners had a while back, but the real estate market wasn't really ready for it back then. So they gave me the idea. I came back a couple of weeks later with a business model and a business plan, and they started me up with funding, and we got rocking and rolling.
So you didn't know you always wanted to be an entrepreneur? That wasn't in the plan?
No, you know, I always wanted to do something with real estate, but I, you know, my family and I grew up on the other side of the track, so we didn't really have the finances that you needed to get started in the real estate industry, so I needed to find another way there. For me, the answer was going to law school, kind of figuring out how the legal end of things worked and trying to make some money along the way, and then eventually putting that into my
own. Did you just snowball into debt or something by going to law school or what? That's like the standard.
Yeah,
like the average college graduate in 2016 graduates with $37,000 in debt and takes 21 years on average to pay it off. And that's normal school. That's not law school.
Yeah, so it was crazy. I actually got almost a full ride to my undergrad for NYU, and then I got like 80% of my tuition covered for law school. So I came out with pretty minimal debt compared to, you know, some of the other guys I went to school with.
I can only imagine. How did you get that though, by the way? How did you get the...
Working hard. A lot of studying. Did well on my exams, did well in school. Okay. Yeah. So working multiple jobs throughout school. So I didn't really have the extracurriculars, but I guess, you know, the guys that were reviewing the application, maybe they felt bad that I was working 2 jobs throughout school, 3 jobs sometimes.
Yeah. Well, hey, whatever it was, it worked, right?
Yeah, it worked.
What are you excited about for the future of your business?
Just super excited to scale it. So we, our full launch was in February of 2015. So it's been just under 2 years that we've been in, you know, full swing operations. Since then, we've managed to grow to about 40 people on staff, including our technology team. We've obtained over $1 billion in capital commitments from different investors, both on the institutional side and the individual investor side. And we are probably, I think, the fastest growing company in our vertical right now in our space. We just broke about $230 million in originations, and I think we're well on our way to do $1 billion next year. So.
Nice. What does $1 billion mean? Is it $1 billion in revenue through the company?
$1 billion worth of originations at roughly anywhere from a 4-6% margin. So $1 billion will generate somewhere between $40-60 million in revenue.
Awesome. Yeah. It's quick growth. You've only been in business for how long?
We've been in business for just under 2 years since our full launch.
So what do you think has been the key to making the type of success that you're talking about right now and projecting moving forward? What's been the key to that success?
It's been a combination of a couple of things. A lot of patience and long work hours. Nine to five doesn't really exist.
There's a lot of people out there who've been in business for 20 years and don't do that kind of income. So it's not the patience. They would disagree, right? Yeah, they would disagree because you're only 28. They're like, I'm 50, 89. Patience.
Yeah, no, it's 15, 16 hour work days. A lot of it honestly had to do with my partners. I'm the CEO of the company and ran a lot of the operations early on, but we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. So my partners, Raymond and Rodney DeVudi, came from a real estate background. They've been in the title insurance industry for a while. They had a book of business and a network that was basically built to support what we're doing
today.
How
did you come across those guys?
So Rodney actually married my sister. My sister was really good friends with Ray when they were in high school.
You're like, I gotta go into business with this guy.
Marry
into the family.
Exactly. So, and they've always been really good to our family. We became really close with each other, family vacations, everything. And we hit it off.
Better than that, though,
No.
You're either gonna like hate the guy your sister marries, or you're gonna go into business with them.
I love them. Honestly, they're brothers at this point, and they're no different than what a real brother would be.
It's awesome. How is it like working with those guys? Like sometimes there's conflict when you work with family or friends. People say don't go into business with them.
Yeah,
you know. But then again, I've had so many people come on the show. And they're like, well, the best thing ever. Like, you have conflict no matter what. There's nothing better than having.
We've done a really good job at separating the two. So we actually, when we're outside the office, we don't bring business into it. So if we're at a family dinner or on a family vacation or whatever it is, our business is our business and we keep that between ourselves. We try not to speak about it at, you know, in front of our family or really just kind of bring it up where it's not warranted.
Okay. So it's just kind of figuring out how to balance the two.
Yeah, it's totally
better as you go. Yeah, hopefully you get
it's
better.
It's totally a balance. Believe me, we've bumped heads. Everybody's going to bump heads from time to time. I think the fact that we're family actually has made us a stronger unit because we always find a way to work around it.
Family always does find a way to work around it, right? We've got the CEO of ShareStates, Alan Shane-Fecker, joining us right now. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm curious, on your journey so far, have you had a mentor that's helped you a lot? I mean, sometimes you have people come in here and they're like, I did it all by myself. And then we have people come on and they're like, if it wasn't for my mentors, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Which one are you?
So definitely have mentors. Coming out of law school, my partners will say that I was really cocky and had a very know-it-all personality.
Yeah, you come out of the law school.
So I definitely had that quote unquote chip on my shoulder. Yeah. But I learned a ton from my partners, Ray and Rodney. Everything from, they both have very completely different personalities. So Rodney is more of our grounded compliance guy, operations, et cetera. Ray is all about relationships, building relationships, and kind of teaching me how to not be a robot sometimes. So, you know, it's hard when you come out of law school, you're very rigid. You know, you do things a certain way, you write emails a certain way, but when you're building a business and business development, it's all about relationships and, you know, being able to entertain people and really make them feel comfortable with the product.
Do you consider yourself a recovering attorney?
I'm a recovering attorney, recovering lawyer, definitely. Okay.
What do you feel like are some of the lessons? And I'm sure there's a lot, because I mean, when you're an attorney, you learn a lot of the things that protect you in business that most entrepreneurs don't know.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's probably pros and cons. You've probably got some things you're trying to unlearn and habits you're trying to break. Yeah. What do you feel like has been one of the best lessons that you have learned from law school that's carried into entrepreneurship?
I think one of the best things I've learned, I'd have to say probably that no single deal or the risk associated to any single deal is worth the potential downfall of your company. So it doesn't matter how lucrative a deal is or how much money it could potentially make you guys. Don't straddle the gray line. Just make sure you're always doing things the right way. You're putting the right processes in place, the right compliance, the right procedures. Yeah. The last thing you want, especially in our industry, because we are selling security, we're dealing with the SEC. There's a lot of regulation and, you know, whether it's state or federal bodies that oversee us, you don't want to get that phone call or that knock on the door.
Yeah. What about some of the basic stuff? Like for the beginning entrepreneur out there, from your experience, are there things where beginning entrepreneurs kind of try to cut corners and they shouldn't from your, you know, lawyer background?
I think sometimes entrepreneurs might cut corners, but they're not doing it intentionally. It's more about knowledge. So I came at this a different way, which was from the legal end, and I was going into a pretty heavily regulated industry. So, you know, for me, it was all about making sure the paperwork was done the right way. For other people, it's more about business development and making sure that they're delivering the right type of product. So, you know, that's why people have attorneys, right? And their attorneys come to the table and their job is not to make a business decision for you. It's just to kind of tell you what the potential risk and reward is for doing something a certain way. And then you have to, as the entrepreneur, decide, you know, how much of their legal advice you're going to listen to.
Are you the one that does all the attorney stuff for your business and contracts?
Yeah. So in the beginning I did. Over the last year or so though, we've outsourced it. Obviously.
As you grow.
We've grown. So we've brought on different
income.
Attorneys.
That's not your highest income and impact activity as
exactly.
CEO.
No, exactly.
What are you attributing your success to in regards to your ability to find and retain the right talent? I feel like so many people come into the show and they're like, my biggest problem or our biggest key to success, one or the other, is the team.
Yeah.
It's we can't retain great millennial talent, which is a big problem. We get the millennials in and then they leave. Yeah. Or on the other side, it's like we figured out the secret sauce to building the right team.
So company culture is extremely important.
Especially if you're growing as fast as you guys are.
Yeah. So we kind of have two things that interplay there, right? We run a very family-based environment. So it doesn't matter. We have millennials come in and, you know, one of our head marketing people who we love, she's a great asset to our team. She started with us just about a year ago now. Came to us one day and said, hey, you know, somebody in my family is looking for a job. I'm the only income stream right now. Would you guys consider bringing somebody in? And we said, without a doubt, bring them in immediately. Interview was probably the quickest interview we ever had because nothing else mattered to us. For us, it was just kind of taking care of our own.
Yeah.
So that's one. And number two, it's just making it a fun work environment. So whether it's hosting pool parties or doing a happy hour or just kind of have everybody meet together on a Friday at, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock and just cut the work week out short an hour and just, you know, grab a beer and hang out and let everybody connect or doing Secret Santa, just fun things that we can figure out to like help people connect and make sure that it's a fun environment and everybody's enjoying themselves.
I love that, bro. Yeah. What do you feel like is the thing that really stops entrepreneurs from becoming successful? When 96% of businesses fail and get shut down in 10 years, 96%. Go out of business in 10 years and only 4% survive. That doesn't mean they're thriving. That doesn't mean they're profitable. They just are surviving. Most of them are barely getting by. Why do you feel like 96% of business fail within 10 years?
I don't think most people that get started in a business know what they're getting themselves into. I don't think they realize.
They think it's this pie in the sky dream and it's going to be easier than.
Yeah. It's like owning a home. You think you're going to buy a home and you have a mortgage payment you make every month, but there's a billion other things that go wrong. Your roof needs to get replaced. Your
plumbing.
Pipes break. It's like anything else, right? There's a ton of unforeseen circumstances. And when you run a business, you're going to run into those issues. So you might not realize how many legal barriers there are. I have friends that have, you know, started businesses and they've run into issues with the FDA or, you know, or whatever else it's going to be, whatever regulatory body oversees what they're doing, because they just don't know that there's somebody governing what they want to do. So they get started and they put all this time and energy into it and they hit a wall.
I think they underestimate it. I think you're 100%
they underestimate
right.
It.
There's a big laundry list of things we could go into, tactics, strategy, psychology.
Yeah.
But I think a simple one to sum it up is most entrepreneurs fail because they overestimate what they can do in a year, underestimate what they can do in a decade, which is kind of like what we alluded to. Somebody wants to follow you or learn more about you or your company. Where can they do that?
They could go to our website at shareestates.com. It's shareestates.com. Or they could follow us on Twitter.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
The right mentor is invested in your success. The wrong mentor is just somebody telling you how they used to do it. Look for these few characteristics when picking a mentor. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, they challenge you intellectually. Initial ideas almost always are no good, even for world-class entrepreneurs. Effective mentors consistently challenge your assumptions and pull forward a better strategy in the process. Number two, they're humble. Mentors who know everything will push you to imitate their previous wins. Do that and you'll probably fail. Work with mentors who are cognizant of inevitable change and understand that the best solutions are yet to be invented. Number three, they've been in a startup. Avoid the mid-level corporate lifer who recently retired and wants to give back. While well-intentioned, this individual doesn't have the slightest clue what it takes to win in the startup world. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
This is Business Rockstars. Rockstars.
Have you heard what President Trump said recently?
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
Youth vaping is a serious problem. To help address it, Juul Labs has advocated for raising the legal age to purchase our products to 21 plus. Stop the sale of non-tobacco and non-menthol-based flavored products to traditional retail. Enhanced online age verification, strengthened our retail compliance program, exited social media, and we're developing technologies to further restrict youth access. Learn more at juul.com/youth-prevention. Juul Labs, for adult smokers only. Paid for by Juul Labs.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
How can you leverage your passion to grow your company? I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us to help answer that question is Dallas Michael Sear. He's the creator of Ignite Purpose. Brother, how do we make that happen? You're a living example
go,
of this, by the way. This is why we're doing this.
Yeah, go fly a kite. So what I mean by that is, like, I'm a huge proponent in doing whatever makes you happy. Live your life out of joy and out of choice versus obligation. So, you know, Ben Franklin, I say go fly a kite as a kind of tongue in cheek, but, and like Ben Franklin discovered electricity, right? Flying a kite. Like it seems silly. Like, how is that going to relate to me making more revenue? And this is especially true for men. It's like, we want to be in our logical mind. Well, how does me going to have fun and camping more and hunting with the boys more? And it's like, whatever your spirit is calling you to do, do that. Because the more on passion, you know, the more passionate and on purpose that you are, that will absolutely equate to raising your frequency. I'm a firm believer in, you just need to feel good now. You just need to be in more joy now. That will absolutely relate to how you communicate with the people in your office. It will absolutely relate to the way your clients actually see you. And I mean that both on a metaphysical level, a woo-woo level, as well as literally on a physical level, how they will actually see and perceive you, because you will be in joy. You will be doing things that uplift you and inspire you, even if it seems like it's not connected. Even if it seems like, why would I go on vacation, or why would I go, you know, go learn that sport that I've been, or learning how to play that instrument that I've been dying to learn. And it's because whatever you're feeling called to do that you're holding back inside of yourself, it's a lack of self-love that is keeping you from receiving whatever it is that you're desiring, whether it's more revenue, whether it's the next team member on your team, whether it's the love in your life, right? You keeping yourself from having that joy around whatever that thing is an energetic block inside of you that is blocking other things too.
It's very counterintuitive that by having more self-love, being more passionate, taking time away from work
Absolutely.
For those things
Just
is somehow going to help you make more money and have a bigger impact.
Absolutely.
It's counterintuitive. So for the person who says, great, I understand that showing up in life, business, my health, mm-hmm. and everything, how I show up will be a direct reflection of how the world is going to perceive me and the things I'm going to receive back. Mm-hmm. But how can people, like step by step, how can they show up from the time they wake up in the morning to the time they show up at work to the time they're done at work, go back home to their friends, their family, sure. whatever that is, yeah. to the time they go to bed and start the whole cycle over? Yeah. How can people show up more?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Being leveraging your passion to grow your company is about showing up.
Essentially, yeah. Essentially, yeah. it's a massive component. And I say, start the day with you. Mm. So that's a big thing. We've heard it as like the Hal Elrod, the Miracle Morning. We've heard the Hour of Power, Tony Robbins. There's multiple people who have spoken about making the first thing in the morning yourself, making you a priority. And I absolutely believe that. Making just... So what I tell people is like, I'm so busy, how do I? And you just begin to create space. So morning time is a great time to create space. One tip that I gave a client who was just Harry Carey, how do I create space when I've got two kids, my husband works, I'm building a business, I come home exhausted, and I started giving her the advice of creating micro breaks. So every time that she would walk into work or leave work or walk into the house or leave the house, when she would go in the car, set a 60-second timer. 60 seconds and just sit. And then start your car. 60 seconds and then get out of your car and walk into the car. Mm. 60 seconds. It can total up to 4 to 8 minutes a day. Begin with that. Create the space. Because what I found is that when the voice became the most loud for me and I recognized the relationship that I was in was not right for me, the business and career path that I was in was not right for me and it was actually killing me, the friends that I was with are amazing people, but we just weren't on the same connection and path anymore. When that happened was when I was on a 5-star, hotel room on a balcony celebrating the biggest success of my career. And I had a moment where the girl I was with was getting ready in the bathroom, and I'm just sitting there taking it all in, thinking to myself, I finally did it. And within that space of just sitting there, finally slowing down with my eye off the goal for just 1 minute, it became abundantly clear. The voice spoke up so loud I couldn't ignore it anymore. You're not happy.
And so I love that you said that for the people out there who say, I don't have the time to blank, you're saying it just takes 60 seconds. Create the 60 seconds.
Create it.
Creator of Ignite Purpose, Dallas Michael Sears joining us. And we're talking about how you can leverage your passion to grow your company. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And we've gone over some really good, simple, practical steps. I think the 60 second one is fantastic. Everyone has that. I do the same thing throughout the day because I've heard similar advice. And it's like, just take the time to take a few deep breaths.
Break the space,
Recalibrate. Absolutely. Just come back to you and get grounded.
Yeah.
What are some other simple ways that people can leverage their passion to grow their company and just have a better quality of life?
Yeah, stop believing the lie. We have this lie that we've been conditioned that there's these circumstances outside of ourselves that are outside of our control. So I don't necessarily believe in control. So this might seem a little sideways or hypocritical. I believe in being. Like really opening up and creating space to be and letting divine spirit and creation come through and having that guide my actions, because then I start creating from a place of ease and grace versus obligation and have to. We give motivation a bad name, right? Some people think being motivated is somehow being inspired by somebody on stage who's going to give you the rah-rah speech and get you to do something you don't want to do.
Yeah, and to go to an event like that or to find motivation means that there's something wrong with me.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The perception.
Yeah, there's something wrong, right? Mm. And this person's going to inspire me to go do what I'm not wanting to do right now. So how can I do the thing I don't want to do? Motivate me. How do I get motivated? How can I, and it's all about force and exercising your will. And it's all about... It's basically manipulation.
Yeah.
How can I manipulate myself to do the thing I don't want to do? And my advice is don't do the thing you don't want to do. If you don't want to do it, then just don't do it.
Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Loved it.
Loved it, brother.
You're the man.
Thanks, brother. Pleasure having you on. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.